Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. First of all, thank you so much for joining us here on Young Catholics Respond. Whether you're listening to us in West Virginia or you're listening to us in Wisconsin, we really appreciate you tuning in and listening to Young Catholics Respond. Remember, you can go out to our website, patchworkheart.org, and find so much more about our ministry. We've got a lot of things going on these days, so check us out there. I want to tell you, we are at the Mid-Atlantic Congress for the parish leaders of the country out here in Pennsylvania, in Baltimore, and it's a great conference. Got some great friends out here with me, and keep working a booth for Breadbox Media. But on today's episode, I am blessed to be joined by my good friend Terry Modica. She is the co-founder of Good News Ministries of GNM.org with her husband Ralph. They've been doing this for 25 years, so it's an incredible ministry, groundbreaking in so many ways, and we really want to spotlight the ministry and talk about it on today's program. So Terry, thank you so much for being here, and welcome.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
Of course, of course. So let's just start with, how did Good News Ministries become Good News Ministries? How did it get started?
Oh, well, that is definitely a miracle story. My husband and I had gone to a conference. We were living in New Jersey, and one of the keynoters was a man named Charlie Osborne, who had formed Good News Ministries of Divine Mercy out of Pensacola, Florida. And his keynote talks were just life-changing to us. So, and I was working for my parish as adult education coordinator at the time, and after listening to this speaker, my husband Ralph went down to Florida to go to the week-long evangelization school, and when he came back, he says, Terry, you are going to the next school. And we took turns because we had kids that we were raising.
Yeah.
And as adult education coordinator, when I went to that school, I thought, wow, this is changing lives better than anything else I've ever heard. And so I took that back to the parish, and the motive, while I was at that conference, I was like, Lord, please, please, please use me in some way to make this kind of a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, there were a few people from the parish who had gone with Ralph, and then there were a few people from the parish who had gone with me the second time, and the pastor was very keen on what he was hearing from us about it. So he said, let's put on a Good News Ministries conference here. We were living in New Jersey at the time.
Yeah.
And so Ralph and I became involved in setting up Good News Ministries of New Jersey. While we were setting that up and getting ready for the first week-long school of evangelization, the Lord was beginning to work in Ralph and me in a way we did not understand at first. He was calling us to move down to Tampa, Florida, Meanwhile, we're trying to be involved in this in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And things were like happening, like the Lord was giving us in our hearts a desire to move. And so we thought, oh, we'll look in that neighborhood down the road from us and move there, you know. And that's not what the Lord had in mind. So long story short, we ended up exploring further and further away about where to move. Back home in New Jersey, the planning was going on. We were becoming very familiar. We kept going with the rest of the core group back to Pensacola to be indoctrinated more and more in how they do it. And when the time came for us to realize that we were going to be moving to Florida, and I don't think we have time for that now, but that is an interesting story in and of itself that God was so involved in. And actually, Ralph would be the perfect one to interview about that because it involved his job and how the Lord shut him out of his job in order to get him to move to Florida. So when we landed in the Tampa area in Florida, it just so happened that 30 days after we had moved there, there was a seminar being put on by Charlie Osborne, the man who had gotten all of this started.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, we're still unpacking, we're tired, we've heard him many times, we're not going to go. But the Holy Spirit nudged us, and we ended up going. And after the seminar, where we heard him say things we've heard him say before, as we were saying goodbye, he stopped us and he said, see that priest over there? Yeah. He wants Good News Ministries to come to his parish. See that lady over there? Okay, yeah. She's been praying the rosary for 2 years for Good News Ministries to come to that parish. See that lady over there? Yeah, well, she's friends with her from a different parish, and she's been praying the rosary too. These were people who had been to Pensacola, but they wanted it, they felt led to get it started in Tampa, but none of them had the leadership skills for it. So they were praying the rosary for 2 years for God to send leaders. Well, when I was up in Pensacola the first time and I saw that, you know, how huge of a difference it made in people's lives, and I had that yearning, I went at one point into the chapel to pray, and while I was praying, I felt the presence of somebody in blue, a woman in blue standing nearby. And I'm like, the Blessed Mother, why would she be visiting little old me? And I just kind of like just tucked that away in my mind. Well, later on when we moved down there and I heard that they've been praying the rosary for it, I was like, oh. And what Our Lady had done was prepare a whole core team for us. And all we need to do, and a parish to start this in, and all we need to do was just move there.
Yeah.
And say, hey, come over to our house for a meeting and let's discuss this. And that's how Good News Ministries of Tampa Bay, which when we became international, became Good News Ministries of GNM.org, because it's a lot easier to not limit it to Tampa Bay with that name.
Right. And well, and you guys are all over. I mean,
you're
here in Baltimore, you fly all over, you do different conferences and do different talks, and you were speaking here this weekend. I mean, you know, you've got like so many different gifts and talents and things going on. So tell us a little bit about what Good News Ministries, what are the core values of Good News Ministries? What are the things that you try to get across to other people?
Well, basically we look at our purposes to evangelize evangelizers, because all of us who have been baptized are called to help others find Christ, get to church, etc. We're all called to be evangelizers. We're disciples first, and then we're sent out by Christ as apostles, just like he sent out the original ones. And so that continued. Jesus works through us today. He relies on us. But a lot of people don't understand that they are called to be evangelizers, and they don't know how to do it, and they feel intimidated. And what we do is help them understand that the more you know your faith, and the more you understand how much God really cares about you, and you know, a lot of people need spiritual healing. You know, it's the tough times of life, they wonder, has God abandoned them? We help them through all that so that they can grow stronger in the faith and thereby end up sharing with others, you know, what God has done for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's so beautiful because, as you mentioned, helping evangelize the evangelizers and giving them the tools to go out. I mean, you know, I think that in today's world, and you certainly do some cutting edge, breaking, you know, amazing different ways to evangelize the evangelizers. So much of it is tool based, but it's also being able to say, okay, you know, when you meet people out on the street, when you know, every opportunity is an evangelization moment in your life, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Every moment is an evangelization moment. And you always have to be prepared and be ready. One of those scriptures from St. Paul says, "You must always be ready to give a reason for your hope." And so being able to do that as a ministry and having that is just an admirable and incredible. And you've been incredibly successful at doing it over 25 years. As you continue to develop the ministry, what are the things that you're seeing in the world today, and that are the needs? What are the needs?
Well, the need for evangelization is stronger than it ever has been in our lifetimes, and because the world, our society. And because we're global, I need to differentiate between different parts of the world are in very different places spiritually. I mean, Africa is so alive in the faith, for example, and we reach a lot of people there. And just as, well, I'm on talking about Africa, there's a lot of people who live in remote villages and aren't getting faith formation or not much of it. And so the tools that we have, we live in a world now where through WhatsApp and other means, we're able to help them grow in their faith formation. So it's exciting to be able to help these people. But here in our Western culture, there's so much moral relativism that has been eating away at people's true faith. You know, people have been choosing what faith should be, what they want it to be. It's like, well, the world says this. I like the idea of the world saying that. You know, so let me figure out how to incorporate that into my faith, rather than how do I get my faith to change the world.
And very true.
So we have a lot of Catholics in the church who are 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the faith. But you can't really reside, you know, you can't live that way.
No.
And so we really are more in the world than of the faith. And so, so there is so much corruption of thinking, and Satan loves that. And Satan has been infiltrated. You know, we all are very much aware of the corruption in the hierarchy that we're dealing with now. And I say it started with the lay people in the pews who have allowed, without realizing it, Satan to corrupt their thinking about faith, their understanding of faith, because I want to be my own God. I want to decide what's right and wrong. And so if I decide that homosexuality, you know, and having active homosexual relationships with sex is okay, well, then I'll decide that it's okay. And because the world says it is, and I've got relatives, and it's a lot easier to be loving, they think, it's a lot easier to be loving to those homosexual relatives than it is to tell them that they're doing wrong, that they're sinning. So I'll go and say, if that's what's best for you, then that's got to be God's plan, you know. Right. And they're making compromises because they haven't had good education about how to deal with that from the faith perspective, from the truth. Right. And that goes back to a lack of the Holy Spirit being active in their lives, because it's the Spirit of truth. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that our mission has got to be not only evangelize people into a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus, but also a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of the truth and helps us to understand why it is better than what the world says is the alternative.
Absolutely, absolutely. Terry, we have to take that short break in the program, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with you. It's just wonderful to be able to talk with you about this because you're so plugged into the church of today. I mean, this ministry is cutting edge. It's awesome. We're going to have a great rest of the conversation right after this break, talking with Terry Modica of Good News Ministries of GNM.org. I'm Bill Snyder, right back after these messages.
St. Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of St. Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry. blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org. Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and on today's program, we're talking with Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. She co-founded this 25 years ago with her husband, Ralph, and just an amazing conversation. She is so plugged into the church and the church of today, it's not funny. We're talking about, we did a great conversation talking about moral relativism and just the kind of the state of the current church that we're in today. And so, Terry, I just wanted to, you know, kind of continue that conversation with this little twist on it is, you know, it's almost like a fish, you know, in water. And then when you pull somebody out of that, they wake up and they realize that they need air and they need sustenance and need something to keep them alive because they've been in this pool of just doubt and confusion in this world. So especially for young people, what are those things that we can do to combat that world of moral relativism? How do we spread that truth into the hearts and make it effective? perspective, as you were talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that,
yeah.
that comes in, you know, and helps us, you know, understand that, and we have that relationship. But what are those things that we do?
It, first of all, it begins with your own self getting plugged into what is the truth and sorting out the misconceptions that you had. You know, I come from a background of going through that process where I believed all kinds of things that were not of the Lord. And it was when I discovered a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that I began to see things differently, one by one. And so it starts with, first of all, having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, realizing that without Him, we don't get to heaven. And second of all, He gave us the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit will teach you everything you need to know. And the Holy Spirit really does do that. I have a prayer that I use all the time, and I highly recommend it whenever I get the opportunity. It's, "Come Holy Spirit, renew me," which is like the start of a church prayer, but I change it. "Come Holy Spirit, fill me. Come Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me."
Beautiful.
And that is a place of humility, and that's where we need to start. And then and I recommend that as a daily prayer every morning. And then be sensitive to what happens during the day. And when something comes to mind, maybe something you read or you hear in a homily or in a praise and worship song you're listening to on Pandora or something,
yeah.
It's, you know, the Holy Spirit begins to work in you and you have aha moments.
Yeah.
Often that you weren't even looking for.
Yeah.
And when that happens, and the more you do it, and I also like to pray, "Holy Spirit, help me to know the Father's love for me." Jesus, okay, He's my Savior. The Holy Spirit, He's my truth teller. He's the one who is helping me grow in holiness. He's the Holy Spirit. He helps us grow in holiness. It's not a coincidence. We use that word holy together.
Yeah, there you go.
But the Father is very often somebody we don't understand because we've had human fathers who are less than God. And so some of them have been very abusive or very absent, but even the best of fathers have been imperfect. So we have wrong images of what God's fatherhood is like. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father's love. Now, what does the Father think of me? And help me to see myself through His eyes. And we tend to feel like, oh no, now I'm in for it. But no, He dotes on us. He loves us.
Beautiful.
And we grow in holiness. We grow in our sainthood.
Yeah.
Not by learning how bad we are and how much we're sinners and need to repent. We do need to know that. But by our Father telling us, like, "You're my beloved child. I created you to be good. In your baptism, I transformed you into being a saint. Now learn how to live that out. And I give you my Holy Spirit to help you learn that." And when we have that Trinitarian relationship with God on a personal level, our life is transformed. And we look at what the world says, and we're no longer as attracted to it anymore, because we have a doting daddy in heaven who wants the best for us. And we begin to realize that when it like church teachings, for example, that we at first disagree with because we don't want to live that way, it's really for the best. Like, for example, if we know somebody who is actively homosexual, it's, the world says it's most loving to let them do that.
Yeah.
Or if they want to become transgender, the most loving thing to do is to encourage it. No, the most loving thing to do is to help them understand how God the Father sees them. He created them. He doesn't make mistakes. And He sees them as beautiful the way they are. There's something that needs healing in them so that they can love themselves the way God created them.
Yes, and you know, that's everyone needs healing in some way. And that's, yeah, you know, one of the big things that Patchwork Heart Ministry focuses on, my ministry focuses on, is sowing hope into broken hearts, because we all have a wound somewhere in our lives. We're all sinners, but you know, when you begin to realize how much God loves you, as you said so beautifully, when you begin to realize the Father's love for you and you respond to that love,
yeah,
it's almost like all of those other little imperfections in your life and those struggles and those doubts, you want them to melt away. You want them to go away.
You
in
want
your life.
To become holier.
Right. You want to become holier.
Yeah.
And you want to understand. And so it's that placing of that desire, right? It's that placing of that desire in the heart that the Holy Spirit can do.
The Holy Spirit is the one that does it. And realizing how much our Daddy in Heaven, God the Father, really loves on. We're the apple of His eye. We're masterpieces,
exactly,
to Him that He created. And He just delights in us. Every good thing we do, He delights in. So yeah, He focuses, when He looks at us, yes, He sees the sins that we do. But because we have Jesus as our Savior, He sees us through the cross and sees us as the beautiful baptized creation. And all our garbage is on the cross.
Right.
So He sees He focuses on what's good about us. And when we realize that, yeah, you know, we want to please Him more. You know, we want to grow in holiness.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, for a young person out there that's listening to this and this beautiful conversation that we're having, when you have that, there's somebody out there that doesn't even know the truth. And, you know, this is Young Catholics Respond, so there could be somebody out there driving in the car in West Virginia tuning this in on the radio right now who has absolutely no idea, but now their curiosity has piqued, right? And they know your ministry is out there. So what are the ways that they can reach out to you to find some of that hope? What are the ways your ministry does serve and do that?
Well, a good starting place is the homepage of the website, gnm.org. But we have several websites. One of them is focused on marriage, and we have reflections for couples that are posted 3 times a week. We have daily reflections on the readings from Mass that really speak of what these scriptures are telling us for our everyday struggles, our everyday lives, in everyday language. We also have the reflections distributed by email, by WhatsApp, if you want it texted to the phone. We have it in virtual reality as well. We have online virtual reality retreats, and you don't even need a headset to watch it. You can just see it on your phone or your computer and be in this other virtual world while you're reading the reflections. So we just love, and podcasts, of course, too.
Yes.
We also have the daily reflections on podcasts.
Yeah, right. I mean, podcasts are a great way for, just like you're listening to this one, check out Terry's podcast. You have two on the Breadbox Media Network, you know, and one is the Daily Reflections, and then the other one is
The Good News Show.
Good News Show, yeah.
And that's usually some kind of a course that is a series of podcasts that get into depth about something. Like, we recently had one on the Holy Spirit and how to get into that better relationship, that close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and how to have an active, alive, even miraculous life through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, no, and so that's all amazing stuff, and it's so good that you're able to really highlight and talk with me about this, because I think there's so many people that are hungry out there that are just striving for holiness, striving for goodness in their life, and Jesus is the answer. You said it, you know, beautifully. Jesus is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the answer, and even the Father's love, which we sometimes don't understand fully, because, as you mentioned, because of our earthly fathers. And so it's so wonderful that you've got so many different cutting edge things. I don't know any other ministry in the world that has a virtual reality retreat,
I
folks.
I don't think there is.
I don't think there is. And it's beautiful to be able to go through and be in an environment where you can be inspired by the Holy Spirit to encounter His grace and His holiness. So, Terry, thank you so much again for being here today. I just want to reiterate the website again. It's gnm.org, right?
That's right, yes.
Awesome. And, of course, WhatsApp, any other ways that they can find you you want to just promote real quick before we wrap up?
Well, WhatsApp is great if you want it texted to your phone. Let's see, I think we've covered it. We've got multiple websites, but you know, the virtual Catholic VR for virtualreality.net is where there's several virtual reality retreats. We've got a virtual pilgrimage to the Holy Land, which is not virtual reality, but it's through photographs and prayers and scriptures. You're going on a pilgrimage without leaving your home. And
that's awesome.
All kinds of things.
Awesome. Well, Terry, thank you so much for spending some time with me here today on Young Catholics Respond. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and to work with you. You've just got a great heart for Jesus, great heart for the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for pointing young Catholics in the right direction.
No, and thank you for what you do, Bill.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.